Welcome to this presentation of Bethel Family Church. We hope you enjoy listening and that it helps you to grow closer to Jesus. You've got your Bibles, open them up. It's always a good start, isn't it? We're going to be continuing on with the Ten Commandments this morning, looking at God's heart in the Ten Commandments and understanding where we come from. It's actually really interesting that we sang that. I don't know whether, I don't think Hannah probably thought too much about which one of the commandments that we were up to today, did you? No, well, we're actually up to the third commandment, which is found in Exodus chapter 20, verse 7. And we're going to get to that in a minute, but it's really all about the name of God. So for those of you who've been kind of following along, if you've kind of just joined, if this is your first week, the series really isn't and I hope for those of you who've been here for the last few weeks that you're not feeling like this series is kind of judgmental, or I hope it's not making you kind of feel like you're a failure. When we look at kind of these commandments, my heart and what I really felt God wanted to communicate to us was his heart of love for us in these commandments. And we study them and we learn them and we look at them not to kind of look at, you know, how far we fall short of measuring up to God's standard. But, I mean, it's important for us to be reminded of what God's standard is and to kind of have that as our heart, our desire to actually live according to God's standard. But there's always times when we fall short, and we can do one of two things. We can either allow that to become something which we beat ourselves up with, and we go, I'm such a failure, I'm so miserable, I'm always letting God down, and, you know, rah, rah, rah. Or we can go, God, I thank you that you made a way for me and that your grace extends to cover even these moments when I fall short. And what your grace does is it inspires me and it encourages me to keep on going and keep on chasing after God's standard for my life, because I understand that it's not out of some kind of, God's not looking for an opportunity to tell me off. Like a loving father, he's not just kind of waiting there with the rule book, waiting for you to overstep one and go, oh, you missed number seven, that's it. You know, he puts these things in place for us to guard us, and his grace extends to us when we fall short. So I hope you're getting that. Are you getting that? Have I said it enough times? There's going to be a few more before we get to the end of the series, so you're going to really, really understand that God's heart in the Ten Commandments is of love for us. All right. If you've missed any, by all means, I encourage you, get online. I've been trying really hard to keep up the website and putting the sermons up, so if you've missed any, you can jump on there to bethelcrc.org.au, or can catch up with them in your podcast app. But this week, I'm going to get my little clicker here. We're going to look at Exodus chapter 20, verse 7, and this is the third of God's commandments. It says this. It says, you must not misuse the name of the Lord your God. The Lord will not let you go unpunished if you misuse his name. Some versions say you must not take the name of the Lord in vain. Some of you is that the wording that some of you are familiar with? Okay, so we're going to look at a little bit, what does that mean? It kind of sounds simple enough, doesn't it? But what is the intent? What is the heart behind this? More than just a thou shalt not, what is God's heart for us in this commandment? Now, it's really interesting. By the way, who's ever heard it said that the fifth commandment, the honour your mother and father one, is the only one with a promise attached to it? That there's kind of a promise attached to this one here. Did you notice that? It's not the good kind of promise. It's not the kind of everything's going to be rosy. It's more like this kind of promise. You know, it's more the Liam Neeson in Taken. You know, it's like, I don't know who you are, but I will find you and I will kill you. It's just an example of that sort of promise. Okay, that's not God. That's Liam Neeson from the movie. All right, you probably know that one. Okay, So what's in a name? Now, I, those of you who are parents, you can probably relate to this a little bit. For me, I thought about, you know, one of the greatest responsibilities and challenges of my life. And when my children were born, or even kind of leading up to it a bit, you do all sorts of things to prepare for your children to be born. And you make sure you've got your pram and your cot and your car seat and, you know, maybe you deck out a nursery or a room for the baby or all those kind of things. There's all these sort of preparations. I don't know how many packets of nappies we had getting ready, particularly for your first. But one of the things that we talked about a lot was, what are we going to name this child? Now, this is a fairly intense kind of responsibility, particularly like when it's like your first child and you're like, what name am I going to give this kid? Because like, they're going to be saddled with this for the rest of their life, most likely. obviously, we did a fantastic job of naming our children. They all have awesome names, don't they? Yeah, absolutely. But it's a big responsibility. Now, sometimes, we would think about, like, how does it sound when you kind of say it together with the last name? Some of you might remember the Dare iced coffee commercial with the new dad and the baby, and the nurse comes in and says, "Have you thought about a name, Mr. Murray?" And he says, "Well, we were thinking Callum," and suddenly you get this cut shot where, you know, he's viewing his kid all through his life being called Calamari and all the squid jokes and stuff, and he comes back and says, "I think we'll go with Jack." You know, so these are the kind of things you think about. You know, are the initials going to spell out anything weird or embarrassing? Or, you know, there was a reason why Amy's middle name is not Ruth. yes. All right. We won't spend too much time thinking about that, but. You know, how does their name sound, the number of syllables and all those kind of things you think about. Now, I think that there are some celebrities today who probably don't take their child naming responsibilities quite seriously enough. All right. I want to show you a couple of... Look, Jamie Oliver. Who knows Jamie Oliver? Wonderful lisping chef. A great cook. He and his wife, Jules, have got 5 kids. Here are the names of their kids, right? Their oldest is Poppy Honey Rosie. That's not too out there. Like, that's... Poppy's all right, yeah. Their second child was Daisy Boo Pamela. Yeah, an interesting middle name. The third child was Petal Blossom Rainbow. We're kind of starting to push the envelope a little bit now. Their son, their fourth, is Buddy Bear Morris. Buddy Bear, yeah, okay. And the last beautiful little baby there in the middle, they were kind enough to name this little child River Rocket Blue Dallas Oliver. The whole thing with colours for names is a little bit odd, but okay, all right, here we go. We couldn't have a weird naming thing without a Kardashian, so we've got Kanye West and Kim Kardashian here, some of you might know. Now, remember that their last name is West, right? So the oldest is named North. Northwest. The middle child is named Saint, and the youngest was named Chicago, because that's where Kanye grew up, so... Yeah. City? I have no idea whether it is or not, but maybe. I wouldn't put it past them. There's one celebrity that I hadn't heard of, but I thought this was funny, that they named their child Audio Science, and they stated that they wanted a word, not a name, and so her boyfriend just went through the dictionary a few times. You feel a little bit sorry for some of these kids, don't you? And there's not even getting started on names like Apple, Cricket, Dream, Future, Journey, Story, or Sunday. Like, the list just goes on and on and on. Like, some of these names out there today are just... You just think, I really, really hope that doesn't catch on. There's going to be a generation of messed up kids, I think. But for the most part, for most of us, normal kind of people, we take this responsibility fairly seriously, because a name is something that sticks with our kids. A name is something that becomes associated with us, and often There are things that kind of get attached to us and name becomes. So there are people throughout history. I could give you some names, some people like Albert Einstein or Adolf Hitler, Elvis Presley, Leonardo da Vinci, or maybe Donald Trump. You know, all I have to do is say the name and there are instantly thoughts, there are kind of opinions, there are attitudes, there are even sometimes emotions which are attached to that name because that name becomes almost a summary of that person's life, a summary of their achievements. Who they are and what they've done gets attached to their name, doesn't it? And that's why in a lot of cases when we talk about our name, there's also another meaning other than the label which our parents gave us. Sometimes when we talk about our name, it's talking about our reputation. When we talk about, you know, that person's going to give me a bad name if they keep that up. You know, or, you know, we talk about besmirching somebody's good name, you know, or business or reputation. And our name is often kind of synonymous with our reputation or what people kind of think of us. In the days of Moses and the people of Israel, when we have this kind of Ten Commandments kind of thing going on, names were incredibly significant. In the Bible, names were often representative of somebody's character. And at times, this is why God made decisions or you know, changed people's names, because he was declaring something over them or something that would be different about their character or their name. That's why Jacob, which means deceiver, was changed to Israel. It's why Abram, which means exalted father, was changed to Abraham, which means father of many, because God was making a promise to him that he was not just going to be an exalted father figure, but he was actually going to be the father of a great nation, of a multitude of many people. When Abraham and Sarah had a son, in their old age, when they thought they couldn't have children, they were so filled with joy, what did they name their son? Anybody? Anybody? Abraham and Sarah named their son Isaac. Yes, well done. Thank you for those who've been to Sunday school. What does Isaac mean? Isaac means laughter. So basically, Abraham and Sarah were so thrilled to have a kid that they named him Laughter. And you thought those celebrity names were weird. it's what the word means. We know it as a name. It's kind of common. It doesn't mean, you know, it's not a word that means laughter in English for us. But for them, they just named the kid Laughter because they were so filled with joy. When God wanted the people of Israel to know in kind of this context that we're talking about, this context of his commandments, when God wanted to know, when he rescued them from Egypt, and God wanted his children to know that they were special, that they were chosen, what did he do? He revealed his name to them through his conversations with Moses. And we have this whole... I've talked about this last year when we did our foundation series. I did a whole message on the name of God and the names of God, and talked about the Yod Heh Vav Heh, which we kind of don't really know how to pronounce, but was the name that God revealed to Moses, and we often pronounce as either Yahweh or Jehovah. But you know, it's kind of a whole story behind all of that. But there are some things that God's associates with his name that I just want to call to attention to quickly before we go on. Firstly, God's name is associated with his presence. So when God says, you know, talks about his name, in a lot of cases he's talking about his presence. And this kind of adds a little bit of significance to why his name is treated with reverence. Look at this verse in Deuteronomy chapter 12. He's talking to Israel, and he's talking to them about how they're going to go into the promised land and the rest of it. And he says, then you must come to the place the Lord your God chooses for his name to reside. How can his name reside somewhere unless it's connected with his presence. Can you see the wording? It's kind of an interesting little phrase there, isn't it? It says, bringing everything I'm commanding you. He says, that's where you're going to bring your offerings. That's where you're going to bring your sacrifices, to the place where my name resides. God's name is associated with his presence. God's name is also associated with his protection. Proverbs 18 verse 10 says, the name of the Lord is a strong fortress. We sing about this sometimes, don't we? The name of the Lord is a strong tower. The righteous run into it, and they are saved. Okay, that comes from this verse. Yeah, the name of the Lord is a strong fortress. The godly run to him and are safe. Proverbs 18 verse 10. So God's name is associated with his protection. When he says, my name will go before you, he's saying my protection will be there for you. And thirdly, God's name is associated with his salvation. Romans 10 verse 13, just one example, but there are many, many examples of this where we are urged to call upon the name of the Lord for salvation, aren't we? Romans 10 says, everyone who calls on the name of the Lord will be saved. So the name of the Lord is associated with his salvation. The name that God revealed to the people of Israel, his declaration of intimacy with them became so revered. Like, this wasn't just a description, this wasn't just a title, but when God revealed his name to the people, they treated it with the utmost reverence. It became forbidden to write it down or even to speak it aloud. Such was the reverence that they had. They treated it as being so holy that no person was worthy even to speak God's name out loud. Let me give you just a little illustration of how seriously they took this. When the Jewish scribes would make copies of Scripture, okay, when they were, you know, copying out the thing, making other, because it was all done by hand in those days, of course. Whenever they came to this name, whenever they came to Yahweh, Jehovah, however you want to kind of say it, whenever they came to this personal name of God, they would get up, they would, some people say they replaced their quill, some say they just cleaned it, washed it. They would go and wash their entire body and come back before they would write God's name. Every single time. Every time that appears, every time. So in our Bibles today, we often have, we see, whenever you see Lord in like little capitals, have you ever seen, ever noticed that? And you ever wondered why sometimes it's like, why is that Lord in capitals? Or, you know, that's because that's where that name, that Yod Heh Vav Heh, that name of God appears in the original text. So if you're ever reading through your Bible and you come across a word where it says that, like we just did before in one of the scriptures that we read, you're going to just imagine the copyist, the scribe who's writing it, comes to the name, reverence. He's like, he goes away, you know, completely washes his entire body, puts on clean clothes, comes back to write God's name. That's a bit different to the kind of world that we live in today, isn't it? That's pretty out there. How it compared to the culture that we kind of live in today, that thinks absolutely nothing of, you know, just casually throwing around God's name, treating it, you know, casually. You know, I'm not just, you know, I used to work, when I worked at the Middleback, I worked there for a few years and I had a boss who was there, you know, every time, you know, you kind of give her a bit of a surprise or, you know, she'd be shocked by something, it'd be Jesus, Mary and Joseph, you know, and I don't know if it was a bit of her Catholic upbringing or something like that, but maybe, you know, some people like that. But it's kind of, you know, there's no shortage of people who it's like, you know, you watch TV, watch a movie, and it's, oh my God, this, and oh my God, that, and OMG, and, you know, all the rest of it. But, you know, I think that there's a lot of Christians today, and even though we might not say those things, there's kind of something deeper that we're looking. This commandment is more than just about not saying, oh my God, or saying Jesus when you hit your thumb with a hammer, or, you know, whatever it might be. When we talk about not taking the Lord's name in vain, the word vain comes from a Latin word which literally means empty or meaningless. And so one of the things that we're also talking about when we're talking about not misusing the Lord's name or not taking the Lord's name in vain is not saying things that we don't mean when we're talking about God, when we're praying, when we're singing a worship song. Do we actually mean those things that we say, or are they just kind of coming out of our mouths without much thought, without much care, without much sincerity, without much reverence? And while there might be times, I think, that we probably, you know, we sing those things when we sing, you know, Spirit lead me where my trust is without borders, but then he asks us to go across the street and we can barely even manage that. You know, are we singing that with sincerity? Do we mean it? When we sing, Lord, I surrender all, you know, you know, some of you might have seen a little parody clip on, you know, where they sort of do a bit of a mashup with some songs. I remember this one because he breaks out in, you know, I surrender some. You know, it's like if worship songs were honest, you know. I think there are probably times when we pray things, when we say things in God's name, about, you know, talking about God, when we sing songs sometimes, where we could probably say, you know, those words that came out of our mouth were probably a little bit empty, a little bit meaningless. And this too is what this commandment is kind of urging us to get away from. It's urging us and say, when you're talking about God, when you're talking with God, when you're singing songs or when you're praying, like, think about it. Say these things with sincerity. But this command is even about more than just our words and what comes out of our mouth. It's also points towards claiming his name when we're living in a way which doesn't bring him honor. And claiming his name when we're not living as people that have been called into a kingdom of light. When we claim to be a Christ follower, when we claim to be a Christian, we're taking the name of Christ upon ourselves, aren't we? Isn't that what we're doing? It's kind of in the name there, isn't it? Christian. I read somewhere that the literal meaning of Christian is little Christ. And what we're saying is that we are a representative of Christ. When we say we're a Christian, we're saying we are imitators of Christ, that people can look to us and see Christ. That's a little bit of a scary thought, isn't it? But if our lives aren't lived according to his Spirit and according to his word and in connection with him, then we take that name upon ourselves in a way that is meaningless. If we claim to be a Christian but then don't sort of live any different to anybody else, then we're taking upon ourselves that name in a way that is meaningless, that is empty. Let me give you an example of what God says about profaning his name. I'm going to explain that just a little bit more in a second. In Isaiah, there's a passage toward the last third of Isaiah where he rebukes the people of Israel. He's a prophet. He brings this message from God to the people of Israel, and he's rebuking them for doing things where they claim to be God's people. They claim to be following God faithfully. They swear oaths, you know, in the name of God, but they're forsaking the worship of Yahweh, of God, for idols. In Leviticus, God declared that those who sacrificed their children to Molech and then worshipped at the temple defiled his temple and profaned his name. And what does it mean to profane? To profane something is to take something that is sacred and to treat it as ordinary, everyday. To take something that is perfect, to take something that is pure, to take something that is holy, and to treat it without respect. That's what it means to profane something. And so when God says, when you're doing that, when you claim to be my people who are set apart, when you claim to be worshippers of the one true God, but then you're worshipping these idols, what you're doing is you're taking God, who is above all things, the creator of the universe, and you're bringing him down to the level of all these other gods that you created and made up in your head. Whoa. That's pretty intense, isn't it? To profane the name of God then is to treat it as ordinary. The problem is that it is anything but. The name of God is not ordinary. And that was kind of something that really came through strongly in our worship this morning, isn't it? When we the last song that we sang. You know, what a wonderful name it is, what a beautiful name it is, what a powerful name it is. This is one of the truths about our faith, that the name of Jesus is the name above all names. There is power in the name of Jesus. There is authority in the name of Jesus. There is healing in the name of Jesus. There is freedom from demonic oppression. There is freedom from addiction in the name of Jesus. There is restoration, there is salvation, there is peace, there is joy in the name of Jesus, the name above all other names. Acts 4 verse 12 says, there is salvation in no one else. God has given no other name under heaven by which we must be saved. Philippians 2 says, therefore God elevated him. He's talking about Jesus. Saying, because Jesus humbled himself to death on a cross, it says, therefore, God elevated him to the place of highest honor and gave him the name above all other names. That at the name of Jesus, every knee should bow, in heaven and on earth and under the earth, and every tongue declare that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father. This is no ordinary name. So how do we get from this? So we understand what it means, what this commandment is talking about. All right, so this commandment that says don't misuse the name of the Lord or don't take the Lord's name in vain. We talked about, you know, what comes out of our mouth as being respectful and honoring of God, not being casual or flippant, not being insincere when we talk about stuff. But we talked about also our lives matching up with the name that we've taken on. Aligning our lives and being led by the Spirit to make sure that our lives reflect the name that we carry. Okay. So we kind of got that. Yeah? So how do we see then God's heart for us in that? What is God's heart behind this commandment? I want to just kind of just finish up with this thought and really just kind of focus in on this. Number one, there are consequences for us. Do you remember back when we talked about that at the beginning today, when we talked about that promise that was associated with this command? God says, you know, he doesn't allow it to go unpunished. Right. Now, how do we see God's heart in that? One of the things that we need to understand, and as we've looked at the meaning of this command, is that there are natural consequences that come when we choose to take God's name but live in a way that is contrary. There are natural kind of consequences. I mean, we could kind of point to all sorts of examples. You know, if you want a really great example, read in Acts chapter around 5 with the story of Ananias and Sapphira, right? There's consequences of people who weren't sincere in what they did and what they brought to God. Didn't go well for them. But when we live as though God's name is meaningless, Do we think that we can do that without consequences? God doesn't have to come and attack us and move against us, because there are natural consequences that come when we treat God's name as casually, without respect, as being empty and worthless, isn't there? To begin with, before we even look at kind of sometimes the things that our minds first go, what does that do to our relationship with Him? When we treat God without respect, what does that do to our relationship with Him? You know, God cares about how we treat His name, firstly because it actually reveals our heart. Scripture talks again and again about how what comes out of our mouth is linked to what's in our heart, in our spirit, isn't it? Now, He says, you know, apple trees don't bear oranges. You know, you don't get salty water out of a freshwater spring. Like, what's in there is what comes out. There's a great little meme that's kind of doing the rounds on Facebook about the coffee cup. You know, when you kind of bump the coffee cup, what comes out? You know, and it's like, well, coffee comes out. You know, it's like, it's the same kind of principle. It's like, what's in your cup is what's going to come out. And if you've got a cup of coffee, which is disgusting, by the way, I hate coffee, but you know that's the image. I know. Sorry, yeah. Forgive me. Grace, come on, Grace. There's more for you. That means there's more for you. But what's in your life when you're kind of bumped and jostled and, you know, whatever by life and the things that come on? What's in your cup is what's going to come out. If you've got coffee in your cup, you're not going to get Coke come out of it. Okay, what's in our heart is linked to what comes out of our mouth, and the way that we use God's word can sometimes reveal things about our heart and our attitude and what's going on and our relationship with Him, can't it? Secondly, I kind of want us to kind of think about this whole concept of us as ambassadors for Christ. Paul talks about this in Corinthians. He says we've been called to be ambassadors, this ministry of reconciliation. We're representatives of Jesus, like we talked about before. When we're Christians, we're little Christs. We represent Him to the world. And when you kind of follow that line of thinking, you say, well, if we're casual in our relationship with God, if we talk about God in a way that is flippant or meaningless or without care, if our lives don't measure up, what kind of ambassadors are we? What does that communicate to people around us who don't know God for themselves about what we're offering? What is there to attract people to the gospel and to the King of Kings and to the Savior if we're like, whatevs? Sorry, I'm trying to sound young and cool. But do you know what I'm saying? And if we are casual, if we make this mistake of misusing God's name, of taking His name when we're not actually intending to live out a godly life, a life that is pleasing to Him as much as we're able to do, then we run the risk of actually causing others to miss out on understanding and knowing the power that is in His name. Because they look at us and go, well, there's not really anything exciting. Obviously, you're not that excited about it. Obviously, you don't care that much about it. Obviously, it hasn't changed your life that much. It's not really anything there for me. But if they look at you know what on the other side of the coin, you know, if they see the relationship that we have with God, they see how seriously we take our relationship with God, how seriously we use His name in our mouth, how seriously we carry His name as Jesus' name carriers, then they say, maybe there's something in this. Maybe this person who I have some respect for, maybe this person who seems like kind of a good and decent kind of person, this person who was kind to me, this person, you know, when I see the way that they actually believe what they say, when I see the way that they kind of do their best to sort of live out the kinds of things that they say, then I see the kind of the peace and the relationship with God that they have, and say, maybe, just maybe there's something in that. And we take Christ to a world that desperately needs him. And I think that this is one of the reasons why God is so why his words are so strong in this commandment. Because we carry his reputation. He gets judged based on us. Now that's something that we've got to kind of stop and think pretty hard about, isn't it? When we think people are going to judge God based on the relationship that I have with him. Now, it doesn't mean that, you know, we have to be perfect. But what it means is that, you know, people go, could I see myself having that kind of relationship with God? Do I want to have that kind of relationship with God? Is there value in that kind of relationship with God? So there are consequences for us. There are consequences for others too. And this is God's heart. God's heart wants to protect us from the mess that we make of our lives when we don't live in step with him, when we treat our relationship with him as casual or, you know, just kind of on this same sort of level that we have with other people. We talked about, you know, bringing what's sacred down to a kind of a lower level. He wants to protect us from what happens in our life when we do that. He wants to also, like, he cares about all people. God's heart is for people. God's heart is for people to know who he really is, us and others around us. I think this is some of what I see in God's heart when I read this commandment. It's so much more than just, you know, just don't say these particular words. But it's that whole sense of you represent him. And that's an awesome privilege. And it's kind of weird sometimes when I think about that and I think, God, why did you choose to reveal yourself in our world through Christians? It seems a bit strange, doesn't it? But in his infinite wisdom, according to his grace, and I don't know, it's just what he chose to do. You know, it's great for us. We get to be part of that. You know, and his grace extends to us, and we can go, you know, like Paul, when we're talking to others, we can say, hey, look, you know, if God can save me, if God wants to have a relationship with me, you know, the worst of sinners, Paul says, you know, and God loves you, God can forgive you too. What a great message we have to take into our world. Amen. Let's pray. Father, we thank you for this awesome privilege of being ambassadors for you. God, sometimes we just feel like we don't measure up and we kind of fall short of, we don't really deserve to this role. Sometimes we feel like we don't represent you very well in our world. But God, we thank you that you choose us anyway, God, and you work through us and you are changing us into the image of your Son, and through your grace, God, you give us this relationship with you that is a witness to those around us. And we can say to others around us, you know, you can know God. But God, as we look at this command this morning to treat your name with respect, to carry your name in a way that isn't empty or meaningless but is significant. God, help us to do that. Help us to be mindful of that in our lives. Help us to be mindful, firstly, of the words that come out of our mouth. God, you say that words have power. Words have power to do good or to do harm. And Lord, help us to be mindful of what comes out of our mouth. Lord, help us to be mindful too of what's in our heart. Lord, of the attitudes that we have in our heart from where our words come forth. Lord, help our heart to be one of reverence and worship to you that lifts you up and exalts you and doesn't treat you as being ordinary or mundane or average, but God treats you with the respect and the honor that you deserve. You are a holy God. And Lord, we pray this morning that you help us to understand that, to have that revelation of that in our lives. And Lord, we pray that you would help us, to live in a way that brings honor to your name. Lord, that as your people who carry and bear your name, Lord, we pray that you would help us to live in a manner that is worthy of you, live in a manner that is worthy of the calling that we've been given according to your grace. Lord, we pray this in Jesus' mighty and wonderful name. Amen. Thanks for listening to today's message. For more information or to listen to other podcasts, head to our website at bethelcrc.org.au or check out Bethel Family Church on Facebook.